Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
I trust our conference. I trust our commissioner, the SEC task force composed of, medical experts in all different fields. Each individual school has a reporting system that they report to the conference, which is then confidential. And as long as the conference says we're playing, then we're ready to rock and roll. I really don't need any more verification or understanding than that. You know, I trust that Coach Mullen's doing the very best he can, that their healthcare and training staff's doing the very best that they can, just as we are. And we look forward to having a great contest Saturday night in the middle of a pandemic, which I think is an awesome thing for us to be able to even do this. And so, we have no reservations about heading down.
No reservations. Let's go to our college football insider, Coach Gary Barnett, who joins us every week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, Steven. Doing great. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. Thank you so much for the time. As always, we greatly appreciate it. And you heard some comments there from Eli Drinkwitz about the upcoming game, 6:30 on Saturday in Gainesville against number 10 Florida. But before we talk about that, Coach, that game, I know when you look at the score, it doesn't seem like Missouri dominated, but total yards, rushing yards, time of possession, every stat, man, Mizzou punched Kentucky in the mouth, and they won that game. Just like Mark Stoops said, they played Kentucky's game and they beat them at it. How impressed were you with the performance from Missouri against Kentucky last week?
Well, I think that was a heck of a game for Missouri against a pretty good SEC defense, especially. Now, offensively, they've been struggling, but Missouri, other than probably the little gaffe at the end of the first half, the clock management issue, which probably may have cost them 4 points. You never know, but you can't give away 4 points like that. But the opening drive in the second half, are you still there, Steven?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, the opening drive in the second half, they had it was just amazing that they were able to put together that string of first downs. That was really impressive to keep that drive going. And I just thought Bazelak had a great game. I thought the two running backs in the up front, I thought on offense, the offensive line, just did a really nice job against a good defense. And, for Roundtree to carry the ball 34 times and between he and Beatty, I thought they looked really good. And then defensively, Bolton keeps making plays, and the secondary I thought played really well, tackled well. And I thought that was a really impressive game.
What was interesting, and you mentioned what happened at the end of the half where Mizzou had to settle for a field goal instead of getting a touchdown. And right there at the halftime interview by the sideline reporter, Eli Drinkwitz said, I messed up. I should have used my timeouts differently. That's on me. That was my fault. And then that drive out of halftime, for people that didn't see it, that was one of the more amazing. 21 plays, 66 yards, 9 minutes and 35 seconds out of halftime. That's how long that drive lasted. And they went for it, 4th and 1 at the 7, and didn't get it. And so they didn't get any points. And so right there, it's 10-3, and I'm thinking, boy, they have just wasted points, back-to-back possessions. This is how you lose a game. But they didn't let it get to them. But the point I'm making is there were mistakes by Eli Drinkwitz, and he didn't capitalize on those opportunities, and they still won the game, which I was impressed by because, I thought, oh, boy, this is going to come back to haunt him at the end.
Yeah, I felt the same way. That drive you talked about, they had 3 third down conversions, 2 fourth down conversions, and they just played Kentucky's game is what they did. They shortened the game. And Kentucky's passing ineptitude is it's going to hurt them all year. They just, I think coming into that game, they'd only thrown eight passes over 10 yards, or completed eight passes over 10 yards, and that, you know, they didn't do much better in that game. So, but Missouri, just the ground control, and then that takes an offensive line that's finding and creating holes and more or less dominating the line of scrimmage against a good Kentucky defense. So, impressive win, I thought, all the way through.
Can they win in Gainesville on Saturday?
You know, they got to play the same way. You know, they've turned the ball. They've had ten fumbles and lost five. They can't do that. And the other thing is they've got to play secondary. They've got to play well on defense in the secondary because Florida has 14 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, only thrown one interception, Kyle Trask has. So that's their game. They rush the ball for 120 yards a game. That's no big deal. Missouri can handle that. But this is a game where they're going to have to shorten the game again, and then the secondary is going to have to play lights out in order for them to win. But you've got a team that hasn't practiced for 2 weeks, that just started practicing 2 days ago, and so it's, you know, I know where Mullen said that it was like they were coming off a 2-game bye week. Well, no, not very many of us have ever experienced a 2-day bye week, so a 2-game bye week. So I don't know what you do, but, you know, I think Missouri has got a lot of momentum going into this game. They've just got to, you know, Coach Drinkwitz can't make those mistakes to win this game down there, and they're going to have to play well in the secondary. But, yeah, this is a team that can win. They got a little momentum, and they shorten the game, and they're just consistent. But they have to remain consistent, and that's hard to do.
Nate Buchini, any comments on Mizzou, or would you like to move on to the Sunflower Showdown?
Oh, you know, I can't wait to talk about that Sunflower Showdown,
right.
Coach, with the
way.
Didn't
take long.
I won't even plant any seeds in your head. I'll let you just take it. What did you make of the game?
Well, you know, it's amazing. If you just look at the scorecard, the scoreboard, play-by-play, you go, it's another unremarkable game for Kansas State. I mean, there's no stat that stands out other than the punt returns that made a difference in the game. They had 10 penalties in the game, and still, you know, almost everything was dead equal. Same number of first downs, you know, Kansas did turn it over twice, and Kansas State once. Third down percentages were awful for both teams. Kansas State 4-for-12. You know, KU was, I think, 4-for-18. I mean, there's nothing that stands out other than, you know, Howard was 17-of-24, didn't make any mistakes. They had great punt returns, special teams. But you look at it, you go, that should have been a close game. And it wasn't even close. So I talked about that last week. It's just Kansas State just finds a way to win. Now, that's a combination of leadership and coaching, which you always have to win games like that every week. So, you know, Kansas is just reeling. You know, it's going to be tough for them the rest of the year, especially after losing Pookie Williams. Him departing or, you know, deciding to set the rest of the year out for good reasons. But it's going to be tough for Kansas to really get a hold of anything right now for the rest of this year.
All right, Coach, let's talk about Kansas State and their next opponent. They're at West Virginia for an 11 a.m. kickoff. West Virginia favored by 3.5. Is the wrong team favored here? I think, I'm surprised. I would think Kansas State would be the favorite, but the game is in West Virginia. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I sort of thought the same thing, Stephen, when I thought Kansas State would probably be favored by 3.5. But I think that what the odds makers do is they really do look at the statistics. And, you know, they've got analytics that they use to make these wagers. And Kansas State is unremarkable in almost every single category other than wins. And big wins, by the way. So I don't know if you count KU as a big win, but it's an in-state rival, and so you got to count it. But So I think that's the difference. And if Kansas State plays their game and they don't overwhelm you, they just find a way to win the game at the end of the game. And I think that West Virginia hasn't overwhelmed anybody as well. And so Kansas State just seems to be a little bit better doing it than West Virginia. So I think this is a dead even game. And I think that, if Will Howard continues to play better than a freshman, then I think probably Kansas State finds a way to win this one too.
So to go back over to the Kansas side, Coach, you mentioned it's just going to be a tough year. I think we all get that. Yesterday, Jeff Long at the coach's show, the athletic director, Jeff Long, apparently got on the mic before Les Miles did and gave about an 8.5-minute monologue imploring the KU fans to kind of stick with them and have some patience. It's going to be, I think he said, a 4 or 5 year process to try to get things back on track. And he still believes that Les Miles is the right kind of attitude to get it done. I guess if you're a Kansas fan, do you just kind of have to not care for a little bit till they can get something going? Like, what do you even do if you're a KU fan and that's kind of the message you're getting right now?
Well, that's KU's sort of used to that. I mean, how many times have you heard it's a 4 or 5 year plan and then they get rid of the coach after 3 years,
yep,
or 4 years?
Yep.
They don't quite ever get there. The difference is, when I went to Colorado with Bill McCartney, Bill had already been there 2 years. He'd had two straight losing seasons. We had, in the third year, we had another losing season. And then finally in the fourth season, we had a turnaround, and from there on it took off. But but that was a guy that had no head coaching experience. And so part of that were the mistakes that Bill made and just how hard it is to take over a new job like that. Les doesn't, Les is beyond that. He teaches that class. So, I think that given the situation that everybody's got to understand that one guy just doesn't come in and wave a wand and things change. It takes time. You throw in the COVID situation and you almost have to white out this year. You almost have to look at it and say, we're just so glad we can play football and get this thing going. And I think it is going to be a 4 year process. I think at the end of 4 years, or during the fourth year, you'll see a big change. But it takes time, and we don't live that way anymore.
I heard the program with Soren Petro yesterday discussing this topic, and as soon as I heard it, I said, I can't wait to ask Coach Barnett this question. What was a tougher rebuild? What Bill Snyder faced when he took over at Kansas State, or the situation at Kansas now?
I would probably say the Bill Snyder's rebuild. That was decades of issues. Kansas, at least, there's been a decade. Only a decade. I mean, it's. I think what Bill did was remarkable, and Les is not going to do it the same way Bill did it. They're two complete different personalities, but both have tough challenges now. Bill didn't have the COVID year that they have to deal with right now. But I do think that I watched Bill from afar. I was there at Colorado when I was an assistant when he took over, and I left right after playing him for 2 years, I think, or 3 years, whatever it was. And then when I came back, they were a powerhouse and a tough get, and that was as tough a road win or home victory that you could possibly get all year. It was so physical. So I think that that's probably the tougher one. But it doesn't diminish the fact that it's tough. It is tough for Les, no matter what.
All right, let's move on and just get your thoughts on some of the other games. Kansas will be hosting Iowa State. They're coming off that loss to Oklahoma State. Iowa State's favored by 28.5 in Lawrence, Coach.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot of points. You know, I don't know how you take Iowa State there on a bet. That's a lot of points to give away. KU's got to rally at some point. It just has to. And so I think that's too many. But I think Iowa State definitely wins the game. And they played pretty well at Oklahoma State. I thought that was a pretty good game. Oklahoma State's a good football team. They're solid, and they found a quarterback now. And I think that's even better for them. I think that's going to give them a run at this whole thing.
You think they'll beat Texas this weekend in Stillwater?
I think they probably will, but boy, Texas is at a point where if Texas doesn't win this game, then all those rumors you may be hearing may come to fruition. I think this is such a huge game for Texas, and it's Oklahoma State's favored by 3.5. There's a lot of 3.5s this week, by the way, but. Texas has to win this game, I think, for Herman to keep his job. And even though you wouldn't think that anybody would in this year, in this situation, and take that job away from him, but I think it could happen.
How much do you, if at all, do you think this Eyes of Texas thing is an issue? You're trying to keep a locker room together and all that. What do you think of all that?
Well, I think I said something to you guys last week that I always there's a formula that I use with anybody I talk to, any team, any business, et cetera, called 90-10.
Yeah.
And I explained that to you, that if you're not spending 90% of your time on the important things, and I mean the important things of football, doing all the little things right, and you can afford to get away with just 10% of your time and energy being spent on other issues, then you got a chance to be good. But if you're 50-50, if you're spending half your time worried about that, concerned about it, and having to solve problems, coaches have to solve problems, and even bad teams are 10-90, where 90% of their time on internal issues. When you as a team and you as a coaching staff are having to spend that kind of mental energy on an internal issue like this one is, then it affects you. There's no question it affects you. Directly, maybe not, but time, resource, allocation, that sort of stuff, yes. And that's, you know, it all adds up and it ends up in a mediocre or losing season as a result of it. And so it's got to be playing some sort of a factor in there. And it's, you know, we'll see whether that it changes. It all comes down to locker room. You know, that's always a locker room issue. And leadership in a locker room. And I'm not sure, other than it looks as though Sam Ellinger is that guy. I don't know how much more leadership there is in a very tough time to be a leader, by the way.
Hey, Coach, the other game I wanted to ask you about is the battle of ranked teams between Ohio State and Penn State. Penn State coming off that loss to Indiana. And, Coach, that's what I wanted to ask you about. I was watching that game when all that happened, and then in the overtime when Indiana decides to go for two for the win. And I'm watching, and as that two-point conversion's happening, there's no way. They got him stopped. There's no way. And then that athleticism and that play, that effort to stretch and to make it even close was remarkable, because it just didn't seem possible. And they kept showing every replay and every angle, and boy, was it close. What did you think? Did you think that two-point conversion was good, or do you think that should have been a win for Penn State?
When I saw it, I didn't think it was good, but I've seen, and you've probably seen the same picture, that was shot right down the sideline, right from the corner, and it's got his body inside the lines, it's got the hand reached out, and that pylon just being touched, and it's probably one of the closest things I've ever seen but it convinced me that it was the right call. And, you know, the replay and everything else that went into it, it was an unbelievable effort by that young man. The play was a bust, as you know, and he just made something happen. So the fact that they went for two wasn't really a great decision, because it shouldn't have worked. But that guy made it work, that quarterback, and it was an amazing play. But I did think, after I saw that one picture where he was totally inside the lines and the pylon was being touched, that was it. So, amazing play.
I couldn't believe it. I just watching it real. I couldn't believe. I just didn't see how he was gonna even make it close, and he did.
Looked like he levitated. He was levitating.
Right. Right. Because when he stretched out, I thought, well, some part of his body's got to be down. I mean, there's no way he stayed. Yeah. And he stayed off. It's levitation, Holmes. It was unbelievable. Coach. So do you think Penn State, do they bounce back and give Ohio State any trouble, or is Penn State going to be 0-2 again?
Well, I think they're going to be 0-2, especially no fans in the stand at Penn State. Ohio State's got a group of young receivers that are really talented. They're a good football team, and the quarterback is a sensational player, just a sensational competitor. You know, I think they lack a big-time running back. And in the end, if they get to the playoffs, that might be the difference. But I think Ohio State's really good right now.
And we got your picks and everything else. And what was your final call on Mizzou? They're 13-point underdogs at Florida.
I take Missouri in the points.
You hear that, Jake?
He doesn't listen to me anymore.
You were so confident. How quickly did Coach answer? He did not hesitate. That means tremendous confidence, Jake. I don't know how you can't take advantage of that.
I will. I will, Coach. I'm a man of second and third chances. I live that.
Or fourth and fifth.
Sixth, seventh, eighth. You know.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I've done enough to cause you to worry.
No, you know what? Your history is solid. Right. So we have what, 12, 14 years together
now? You said that with great conviction, and so you've got me on board.
Solid,
so
yeah, solid.
That's right.
I'm all over it. Actually,
you.
As
thank
we
you,
speak.
Coach. Thank all you right, very guys. Much. We'll talk to you. That's right. That's Coach Gary Barnett. He's awesome. Because he didn't, you know, I take Missouri in those points, and like I felt, I could feel Jake move from all the way where I am. You stood up straight.
I'm going to tell you what. I like Missouri in the points. I like Kansas State in the points. That's where I'm at right now.
Oh, yeah. Wrong team's favorite.
Yeah. And I'm not. I can't go money line yet. I'm not there yet. But 3.5, I'll take all of them.
Am I crazy here? I mean, shouldn't K-State be favored?
I think it should be a pick 'em. I think it should be a pick 'em. I mean, honestly, if you ask me a handicap, I think it'd be a pick 'em.
Okay,
three.
What would you make it, Nate? He would make it an even. I'd favor K-State by 3.5. I'd have it totally
yeah.
opposite.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Same. I think that K-State
now
is...
Now I changed my mind. Now I don't win.
Yeah. There you go. Align yourself with that.
Well, I just feel like people that want to bury their nose in the stats without actually watching the games are the ones that are manipulating a line like that.
What do those people sound like? They just bury their nose.
Oh, the total points, statistics, K-State, not that impressive. But you know what?
Right.
When you win every week like that, it's not luck. If you do it like one game here or there, it's luck. But when you win every week like that, it's not luck. That's who you are. And to me, that's like what K-State has proven themselves to be to this point. So...
I'm super excited now about watching the Mizzou game. You when I know that Jake is on Mizzou,
oh boy.
Or if I know that Jake is taking the points, that I feed off that energy. That gives me life when I'm watching, because I know, even though maybe his heart's not, his wallet's in it, so I know wherever he is, Jake's pulling for Mizzou.
Right.
And I'm just, it gives me, it I brings power when it happens, you know? I feel right. It's like, I feel centered. I'm like, it levels me out. I don't know. Because you are.
It's a balance of the force.
Yeah.
You are, though. I mean, you could say you're, but when you get that wallet involved, then you are on the Mizzou Football Express with me, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, my.
That's exactly right. Your wallet speaks for you.
It's more important than my heart, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
And what's my heart going to buy me? Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing.
It I mean, you can't buy love.
I know, right?
It doesn't bring power.
No.
Only your wallet does.
He's bringing power.
Yeah, he does. With my wallet.
You get put some money on that KU Iowa State game?
Nope.
28.5. What would you take?
28.5 point dogs at home.
I would take nothing. Take my tail and between my legs and go home.
No, no, no. You're at the window. You gotta pick. You gotta take a side here. Where are you going?
I'm laying the points. I mean, I'm laying 20.5 points. I'm
Coach Barnett just said that was a lot of points.
The game's kicking off 28.5 to nothing.
Well, you know what? He's right. That is a lot of points.
Yes, it is. It's a good point.
It's right.
Good point, Coach.
28.5 is a lot of points. Yeah. I you know
it's
what?
It's an overcorrect. Maybe it's an overcorrection because you know
last week
we talked about that the entire, like, how is this spread not bigger? Like, what are we? Also, like,
it might have been the easiest bet for me to make in my career.
I kept like this. When I looked at it, you like when you first see like, oh, that's wrong. Let me go check everyone else. They have a misprint. No. Why is it that? Why isn't it 28? Like that's what the line should have been last week, 28.5, and that still wouldn't have been enough.
Right. Like I said, I probably would have laid those points last week.
But is Iowa State better than K-State? No.
Close.
They're right there. They're comparable.
Right. Yeah, they're probably, you know, a field goal or a touchdown are different.
28.5
yeah.
At home.
You're laying the points.
I think they almost got it right.
I mean, that honestly, like, that's almost enough to make you go, maybe Kansas get
up. They almost got it right. Like, if it's 30, if we're saying 30 right now, I'm saying, Steven, I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll take those points. I'll take 30.
He didn't really say anything else. He goes, well, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
But then
yeah,
he didn't
right.
say
yeah, it is.
He didn't say anything.
He's bringing power.
He didn't say anything else. Yeah, that's a lot of points. And so you like Mizzou plus 13.
Well, it's just
you could tell he gets real. Like you could tell with Coach, like he gets. What about Mizzou getting 13? Oh, I take Mizzou in the points. And that's all.
No further that long?
Further analysis needed.
That's a former coach that's trying to picture what he'd be doing
exactly.
If he didn't practice with his team for 2 weeks,
scrambling his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, I can't do that though because this is my heart and my wallet. Sometimes
here, let me handle it for you.
I'll handle it for you. This only thing to me though
I'll lift that burden.
I don't really believe that they've been off for 2 weeks. It's the SEC. No one's watching these schools. No one's holding them accountable. They don't have anybody checking on them to make sure they're doing things right. They pretty much are all making up the rules as they go in college football. So I don't like when you tell me, oh, they haven't been together for 2 weeks. Okay, maybe. I don't know about you guys.
Whenever we talk about Florida, will you please play a song from Flo Rida? Go ahead, Nate. I like him. So,
yeah, Flo Rida, you spin me right round. That one, that's a good one.
You know what? You could crush me for this. If you want me on the dance floor, if you want me to dance, then you play Flo Rida. That's what gets me dancing.
Yeah.
Nowadays. So you have the clean music, or is it?
Yeah,
something
nope.
I don't know what I'm.
No.
I need explicit lyrics for me to get on the dance floor.
Is there bad words in the right round?
Well, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's bad words everywhere if you look hard enough.
That's some Kesha in there, too, isn't it? Yeah.
There's some more, too. I mean, you know.
Oh, it's definitely going to be dirty. Let's break.
Okay. And back after this on WHB.